Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Paragon 28 First Half 2023 Results Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one one on your telephone. You will then hear an automated message advising that your hand is raised. To withdraw your question, please press star one one again. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mark Hooper, Group CEO and Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone, and welcome to the first half results presentation for Paragon 28. I'm joined today by Josie DiMartino, our Group CFO, who joined us in October after our long-term CFO, Stephen Munday, retired. So it's great to have Josie on board over the last few months to help us on the Paragon journey. Move through the disclaimer. Let's kick the presentation off. Look, over the past six months, it's been another really important step for us in the Paragon 28 journey. You know, as you'll see through the presentation, the financial results are in line with our expectations, and we've made some really great progress on further refining and executing our longer-term strategy. Importantly, the management team is pretty engaged, and we've been busy behind the scenes, setting our strategic priorities by pillar, supporting that with a new project management office and team, which is providing a much stronger platform to enable execution. Ultimately, this is all part of the journey towards our targeted ambition of 100 million dollars of EBITDA by FY 2027. Let's start with a few comments on the results themselves. Josie will go through these in a lot more detail later on in the presentation. Sales have increased by 38% and underlying EBITDA by 37% compared to the first half of FY 2022. As noted earlier, this is completely in line with expectations and mainly reflects the inclusion of Quantum results for the half and SMS results since September. Pleasingly, this has converted to a 41% increase in underlying NPAT, notwithstanding some additional amortization charges we incurred during the half, some of which is related to the Quantum acquisition. Again, Josie will talk to that in more detail later. Underlying return on invested capital was 8.7%, which is obviously below where we'd like it to be, but I guess given the phasing of the halves, not surprising, and we'd expect that to improve in the second half of this year. As promised previously, we'll also provide some detailed return on invested capital data by pillar, which Josie will go through later in the presentation. We've also declared a fully franked dividend of 0.006 a share, which is consistent with last year and represents a 63% payout ratio, which is at the higher end of our target range. On an annualized basis, this equates to a fully franked yield of above 5% based on current share prices. I'm quite happy for that to drop if the share price goes up. The net debt figure, while it's largely consistent with last year, is up about 20 million on what we reported at the end of the full year in FY 2022. And as we talked about during that presentation, that's again in line with what we would have expected. We funded around three-quarters of the SMS acquisition in cash, which is about 11 or 12 million dollars. So that's the main reason debt's jumped. Some of it is timing on inventory, which we would expect to reverse in the second half, and we'd still expect debt to decrease slightly over the second half. So that's what we'd be forecasting for the full year. One of the big focuses over the last six, nine months has just been improving our execution capability. You know, I've gone on and on about this. It's all good and well to have great plans, but if you can't execute against them, then there's no point. It not only gives us a better chance of realizing the benefits that we're chasing, but it also improves investor confidence that what we say is what we do. And this slide is unashamedly pitched at that thematic. This slide gives you, I guess, the key things we talked to the market about in June last year when we released our results. And as you can see, we've made positive progress on all fronts. From an earnings perspective, we remain on track to deliver underlying EBITDA of 30% for FY 2023. There's obviously been a few pluses and minuses during the first half, you know, most of which we flagged when we talked to the market at our AGM. And our expectation would be those trends are probably going to continue into the second half as well. One of the big focus areas for us has been to make sure we integrate Quantum and SMS effectively. Again, historically, the Paragon business has had a mixed record on integrating new acquisitions and making sure that the earnings are retained and grown. Both of the Quantum and SMS business have performed strongly during the first half of 23, and we expect that to continue into the second half. Last but not least, we've continued the work on strategy. We've completed the pillar-based strategy work. They've been presented to the board, and implementation against those strategies has commenced. And one of the really important parts of that is making sure that those action plans that have come out of that process actually fold into our FY24 forecast. So we've been doing quite a bit of work with the pillars to make sure that's what's delivered. An effective project management office has also been put in place to support this, which just also gives us a more informed view about where we need to spend our time and effort. For the first time, we've got quite a comprehensive view of everything that's happening in the group, and we're having regular discussions around where we do and don't spend our time so that we make sure it counts when we dedicate resources to various activities. Acquisitions haven't been a huge focus over the past 6 months. We've still looked at things that have come over our desk. There's been nothing of particular interest. And as I said to the market previously, my big focus was on getting organic growth back into the business. But we are looking to sort of ramp up consideration of acquisitions over calendar year 23. So I think that's a bigger focus for us moving forward. And as I'll touch on later, I suspect that's probably going to have more of a focus in Asia than ANZ in the short to medium term. Before I hand you over to Josie, I just want to spend a moment on our new Mount Waverley facility, which is the most significant investment the Paragon business will be making over the next few years. The site relocation was originally conceived to support an expansion in manufacturing capacity for our Emulab business that manufactures blood diagnostics products. This is a business we bought off CSL about 4 or 5 years ago. Importantly, Emulab has unique IP around these products, which have also been shown to be clinically superior. So we think we've got a great platform to actually grow this business in the medium term. And we believe there's a significant export opportunity here that was originally focused around China, but as we've done more work around the strategy, we think there are now other markets for these products with an initial focus around a broader footprint in Asia. So that work is continuing as we speak. The scope of the actual Mount Waverley project has been broadened over the last 12 months to now incorporate a consolidation of all of our Victorian operations. So the fact that we've got an expanded scope, so we've actually taken additional space on the site, and obviously we're allowing for all of the businesses to come in, as well as some increase in building costs that everyone's experiencing, means the budget for this project's increased by about $10 to $12 million. It was originally around $17 to $18 million, so it's more like mid to high 20s now. So to support this, we're talking with Centuria Healthcare, who provided the funding for the first phase of this project, to support that funding requirement for the expansion funds that we need. So very exciting development for the business. As I say, the most significant investment we'll be making over the next few years, and there's been good progress over the last 6 months. So I'll now hand you over to Josie to take you through some of the detail of the results.
Thank you, Mark. I'd like to first start off saying that pleasingly our reported net profit after tax was 6.7 mil up 24% on the prior year comparative, whilst our underlying NPAT was 6.3 versus 4.5, so up by 41%. As Mark has already alluded to, our reported EBITDA was 18.1 mil versus the 14.1, so up 28%. And our underlying EBITDA was 17.6 versus the 12.8, which is up 37%. The difference there between our underlying EBITDA and our recorded earnings before interest, depreciation and amortisation is some acquisition costs for Quantum and a small amount there for SMS, and also the fair value gain on our interest rate swap. Just working up towards the top end, if I look at our revenue increased by 38%, 153.9 mil versus that 111.3. Quantum equates around 41.5 mil of that, and SMS about 3.7. Our cost of sales, with our contributing to our gross margin, was slightly down from our half in the prior year comparative, and that is to do with a higher sales in capital sales, which have a slightly lower margin. Our other income was up by 1.5, and that includes an income trail on an expiring contract. Our operating expenses, they increased. 22% of that is represented by the inclusion of QTM and SMS. So overall, with regard to our underlying EBITDA, as I said earlier, 17.6 versus the 12 point up, so we're at 4.8 mil. Our underlying ROIC, as Mark has already mentioned, came in at 8.7. That is based on an EBIT pre-AASB 16. As Mark indicated, we'd look at seeing that improve in the second half of the full year. Moving on now to having a look at the results from a pillar view. We've commenced, as of the 1st of July, reporting through the lens of these four pillars: devices, diagnostics, capital and consumables, and service and technology. Revenue there for devices was 42.3, with an underlying EBITDA of 6.3 and a ROIC of 11.11%. We've seen a gradual improvement in elective surgery, although that is still variable across states and the months. Hospital nursing capacity is definitely in the rebuilding phase in post-COVID, in a post-COVID environment, which is having an impact within this pillar. And demand for pain management devices is also being impacted more than we had anticipated by our price-based reform. With regards to diagnostics, they had revenue of 18.8 mil and an underlying EBITDA of 3.4 mil, with a ROIC of 17%. Core Immulab business continues to perform well. Demand for COVID test materials has slowed, and as Mark has already indicated, that the SMS integration is progressing very well and is in line with the original business case expectations. Capital and Consumables has revenue of 46.2 mil, with an underlying EBITDA of 6.6 and a ROIC of 14%. For our ANZ business with Capital and Consumables, the performance has been slightly below our expectations. There has been a reduction in elective surgery due to clinical staff shortages, and sales have been impacted by slow uptake of new contracts and supply back orders. With service and technology, 4.6.6 mil in revenue and an EBITDA of 6.5 with a ROIC of 8%. A large part of our quantum business sits here within that service and technology pillar. They make up about collectively over 40 mil. The quantum services overall is performing very well, and really strong performance there with the Thailand business. And there is positive progress in rebuilding the core Paragon services and technology pillar. With cash flow, our cash flow, or I'll start first actually with net debt. Our net debt was 69.6 mil versus half year of 69.3 for the prior year comparative. Our net cash for operating activities was down 2.7 mil or 69%. A lot of that is due to working capital. We've had an increase in inventory of approximately 10.5 mil. There has been SMS acquisition, and we are looking at managing our inventory for the second half through a stronger S&OP process. Trade and other receivables also went up by 5.5 mil. We do have the inclusion of SMS balance in there for receivable of 1.3 mil. And we're having, or we're seeing, return to normal payment cycles for our public hospitals. Our forecast of net debt, as Mark has already mentioned, is expected to decrease slightly from our December 2022 levels. Just with regards to net cash investing activities, you'll see that that's gone up by quite a significant amount of 14.6 mil. Just to address that, SMS makes up 11 mil of that 16.3 movement, and then we've had investment in our property, plant and equipment of 3.8, of which our Mount Waverley site is 3.3 mil of that. Working capital movement. I've already touched on working capital just in the prior slide. I've already spoken about inventory, the inclusion of quantum and SMS acquisitions. One of the things I haven't addressed is the movement in our working capital has been offset by our increase in trade payables. You'll see that movement is around 10 mil, and that's just due to timing of payments over our Christmas period versus the June period. Moving on to our capital management, pleased to announce that we have for our first half, we have an interim dividend declared of 0.6 cents, which is fully franked. This represents a 63% payout ratio of underlying net profit after tax, and the Paragon Board continues to target a dividend payout ratio of 40 to 60%. This dividend comes in just slightly higher than that. Paragon Care does have franking credits of 24.7 mil, and the franking credits attributed to the interim dividend is about 1.7 mil. With regards to the dividend key dates, the ex-dividend date will be the 14th of March, the record date, the 15th of March, and the payment date, the 5th of April. I'd also like to draw attention to our banking arrangements. As we had foreshadowed at the AGM, the company has now entered into a new finance arrangement with both NAB and HSBC. It provides Paragon Care with a range of facilities totalling about AUD of 120 mil and USD of 30 mil for up to 4 years in our clubbing facility. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank Dale Patterson at NAB and his team, and Kieran Hammy at HSBC and his team, together with Scott Munro, Soho Lawyers, Stuart and John and the team at QWM and Baker McKenzie's, and I look forward to working with NAB and HSBC as we grow Paragon Care.
Thanks, Josie. Just to pick up on that banking, a new banking arrangement, obviously bankers are privy to a whole pile of information about what's happening inside a business, so to see the level of strong support that we got out of NAB, which has continued over a number of years, and HSBC has been really pleasing. So the last part of the presentation today is an update on strategy and our growth ambitions. I guess where a lot of the focus naturally turns. Just starting with the Light on the Hill slide, you'll see we've now cleverly incorporated the Light on the Hill into the logo. We've had a bit of a revamp of the logo over the last 6 months. I've obviously used this slide before, which is a summary of our longer-term ambitions to build a $100 million EBITDA business by FY27. So I'm not going to go through it in detail, but just to reinforce a couple of key points. It will come through a combination of organic and acquisitive growth. As I've said many, many times, organic growth is too slow. Acquisitive growth is too balance sheet heavy and brings a whole pile of challenges around integration. So it is through a combination of the two. And when people have pushed me on how much from each, I say my guess is roughly half and half, right? And I've got no reason to change that view of the world. Obviously, getting more sustainable organic growth has been the main focus over the last 6 months. And, a lot of the work inside the strategies that each of the pillars have been going through is about making sure that is sustainable organic growth and not just 1 year and then it disappears in the next. As I mentioned in my opening comments, while we have sort of looked at some M&A opportunities over the last 6 months, it hasn't really been a key focus and there's been nothing really that sort of caught our eye. But now that we have the pillar strategies completed and have a more informed view about where the best opportunities might lie, this will be an increasing focus of our attention as we move through calendar 2023. A key enabler to support this is the network we now have across the Asia-Pac region. Obviously, Paragon already had quite a strong footprint in Australia and New Zealand, and the merger with Quantum has provided an Asian presence, but also a broadened product portfolio, particularly in high-end imaging. And I've said this to people before, we now have a very broad range of products that we represent in across Asia-Pac, so it gives us quite a strong footprint from a product point of view as well as a geographic point of view. The combination now means we have the ability to approach OEMs with a comprehensive expertise across Asia-Pac, covering a range of medical equipment, with the added benefit of being able to support the requirement for consumables and ongoing maintenance, which is why rebuilding the services and tech capability is so important. It's a huge advantage for us, both for existing OEM relationships and also prospective OEM relationships. And we think it gives us a unique proposition that we don't think is actually replicated anywhere else in the market. The physical network we have in Asia also means we've got the platform to support the Immulab opportunity, which, as I touched on earlier, we now see as a broader-based export, Asian-based opportunity, and potentially markets beyond that. So having the existing footprint in Asia has proved invaluable in making some meaningful progress over the last 6 months in that respect. Next couple of slides, we've just got some further details about how we're thinking about the organic growth piece. I've shown you a version of this slide before, which is just designed to give you an overview of the key drivers by pillar. You know, I'm not going to go through this in detail. I think the key point that I'd make here is the organic growth piece is not reliant on one or two options. There's a broad base of organic growth to work with right across each of the pillars. Not much has changed over the last 6 months, other than I think the rebuild inside services and tech, as I've talked about previously, is just going to take a little bit longer than expected. I still think there's a significant opportunity here, but I think the truth is it was just a bit more broken than we thought. You know, it's not a business that had received a lot of support over the last few years. I think there's just some fantastic progress we've made over the last 12 months, but the practical reality is it's going to take another 6 to 12 months longer to properly rebuild this, which, as I mentioned earlier, is an important component of rebuilding that comprehensive sort of maintenance, consumables, capital capability that we can then take to OEMs to pitch for new business. I also just want to talk about three areas where we're targeting additional growth options, and I've already touched on a couple of these, but I guess the way to think about this is where would we be prepared to disproportionately invest because we think the prize if we get it right is significant, right? And so there's three areas where I think that applies, right? The Immulab opportunity, I think, is just a really significant opportunity for the Paragon business. And as I've already touched on, when we talked about this to the market a few years ago, it was very China-focused, right? There's a much broader range of markets now that we think we can access. I think the one qualifying comment that I've made previously here is because it takes a while to get product registrations in key markets, and we have made some good progress with the registrations we're looking at in China over the last 6 to 12 months. But it just takes time to get these products registered. So in terms of a meaningful impact on earnings, it's probably not until FY25 that we'd expect to see anything. But we are making moves inside the business at the moment to add additional resources to try and fast-track this opportunity where we can, because we do think it has significant upside, and we've obviously made the significant investment in Mount Waverley. So from a capital perspective, we've already sort of placed that bet. The second area where I'm thinking, you know, there's value in disproportionate investment of time and effort is our growth aspirations in Asia. Asia's performed really well over the last 6 months, particularly in Thailand and Korea, but it's off a smaller base than our ANZ business. So while we've made some really good progress in terms of organic growth, and I've got no reason to think that's going to stop, I think to make meaningful progress in Asia, we're going to need to look more aggressively at M&A. So John Walstap, who runs the Asian business for us, you know, has always got an eye out for those opportunities. So, you know, as I said in my earlier comments, I think from an M&A perspective, Asia is more likely to be the focus for us over the next 6 to 12 months. You know, we've got, a much more informed idea about where the logical gaps are. I think in the context of Asia, that's about building scale in existing markets or filling gaps in other markets that we might be looking at. Last but not least is the whole service and technology area. As I've touched on, the progress here has been a bit slower than we would have liked because of the existing state of the old Paragon services business in Australia. We do think there's plenty of upside there, so we're just looking at ways where we might be able to add additional resource or what else we might be able to do to try and supercharge that, because I do think there's quite a bit of upside for the business. So, again, these are the sort of three areas where, as I said in my opening comments, we're looking to sort of potentially invest disproportionately because we think the returns there can justify those sorts of outcomes. So just a few closing comments on outlook. Obviously, from an earnings perspective, we remain on track for the EBITDA growth for underlying EBITDA growth around 30% for the full year. We feel like we've made good progress on our strategic initiatives towards the stated ambition of $100 million of EBITDA by FY27. That obviously is going to come through that combination of organic and acquisitive growth. The acquisition piece, you know, I think having completed the strategies, we've got a much more informed view about where we might target those opportunities. And, you know, whilst the share price hasn't necessarily sort of been performing as I would like over the next 6 months, you know, at the end of the day, I can't control that. If we rebuild credibility around the strategy and execution capability, I've got no doubt that ultimately that'll be reflected in the share price. And from a funding perspective, if the acquisitions we put forward make sense, then I'm sure the market will support them as well. I get all these questions from investors about how big an acquisition do you think you can take on. My view is as long as it makes sense in terms of the strategy and the returns, then the support will always be there. So that's the attitude we're taking into this next phase of growth. I guess the last comment there on the M&A piece is, you know, the board does want to still try and maintain a capability to provide some dividend stream on the way through. So, you know, we're trying to walk that balancing act. I know, you know, there'd be a lot of people who say, well, if you can grow the business strongly, the dividend's not quite as important. But I think we are trying to position ourselves as a growth at reasonable yield type investment, and I think we'd like to be able to continue that. So that will continue to be a consideration into the future. So that finishes the formal presentation today. As I say, you know, the key thematic you should take out of today is we remain very confident about what we're trying to do with the business longer term. You know, what we told you we would do is what we've done over the last 6 months. It hasn't all worked out exactly like we thought it would, but that's the nature of these journeys. Sometimes there's some pluses and some minuses on the way through. But, you know, the team's up and about, which is half the trick. We've got a much better idea about what it is we're trying to do, and we look forward to reporting to you in future presentations. So thanks, everyone, for your time today. We look forward to catching up with a few of you on the call over the next few days. Have a good day.